The birth of Jesus is probably the single most important event in the history of the world. Think about it. Try and come up with another historical event that was more important, that had more impact on the entire planet than the birth of Jesus Christ. And nothing comes close. And this is why for the last 2,000 years, the entire calendar of our civilization, our worldwide civilization, is based upon the year zero being a time calculated as the birth of Jesus. We're in the year 2013. So we even measure the importance of this day, our birthdays, our anniversaries, our secular history. Everything we plan is based upon a point in time that the whole world has agreed started at zero, and that zero was the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting when you read the book of Luke and you see how Luke was talking about it, you see how they used calendars in his day and how calendars were done before there was some universal agreement on a calendar. So, for instance, most of the time, the most powerful man in the area, in the region, was the one who set the calendar, and it all started on the day of his birth or the day of his coronation. So that, for instance, look how Luke, in the first chapter and the second chapter of Luke, talks about calendar. Under the reign of the Roman Emperor Augustus, while Quirinius was governor and Herod was tetrarch. You hear how that works? And throughout the Old Testament, you will see things like, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius, or in the fourth year of some other king. That's the way the world traditionally looked at calendars. If it wasn't for the birth of Christ being more important, you could imagine the U.S. calendar being based upon July 4th, 1776. Pick your date. How do you mark time? And the whole world, whether you're Christian or not, marks time by the birth of Jesus Christ, whether they believe he's God or not. Now, history is something that's not a really precise science, so the history of the early centuries of the church picked a date, and we've been calculating from there, and in more recent careful study of histories, they've come up with the idea, and you can see this in more recent writings, that Jesus was probably born in the year minus 4 or minus 6, 4 to 6 years before zero. Now, we're faced with a dilemma. Are we going to go back and rewrite every history book that was ever done? Not going to happen. So leave it alone. We had a calculation in the early years of the church that you don't have precise science. It wasn't on CNN or Fox. We don't have it recorded by any of the newspapers. We don't have any photographs. So it was when it was, and we will believe that still that date zero stands for his birth. And it really isn't important after that. What is important is what happened. That God became man. That God took human flesh from the Virgin Mary and that Jesus Christ is totally man and totally God, King of kings. What's important is that there were prophecies about this event. It didn't just come as a surprise. It didn't just pop out of the blue. That first reading from Isaiah, 700 years written before the birth of Jesus. The Jews knew when it was. Look how the three kings went into Jerusalem and said, "Where is the new king born?" Well, that kind of upset the apple cart because Herod was a jealous king. He killed off his own family as potential threats. He didn't want a new king. His intention was to kill any potential threat to him. So he sent the three kings and he said, "Come back and tell me where you found him and let me know where he is so I can go and adore him also." We know that that wasn't true. We know that after the three kings left, after being warned by the angel not to go back and see Herod, that the angel also appeared to Joseph and said, "Get out of Dodge. Bethlehem's only 8 miles southeast of Jerusalem. So it's not very far. It wouldn't have taken very long for Herod to realize they're not coming back and send his soldiers down there to search for a child. And we know from Scripture that he killed every child 2 years and under, just to be sure, in that Bethlehem region. And that forced Joseph and Mary and Jesus to spend probably the next 7 years in Egypt until Herod died. Now, if events are funny, when they're happening, you may not see how important they are. And we need a rearview mirror sometimes to see just how important things are. And the rearview mirror for the church was the resurrection. A lot of the things that were happening, a birth, a young boy growing up, learning to be a carpenter, practicing his religion with his parents, that wasn't worldwide headline-grabbing stuff. But when you get up into around the year 30 and you have Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, followed and surrounded by a large community of people, many of whom have been with him since his baptism in the Jordan, most of them very well read and familiar with the readings of the prophets of the Old Testament because they were Jews, began to rethink these scriptures and say, "Oh yeah, that's right. Isaiah did prophesy this." And the more the church thought about this, you see the accuracy of the prophecy in Amos, in Isaiah, that there will be a major king over all the kings of the earth, and he'll rule forever. This was 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And this revelation of the kings, of the three kings, is interesting because the Jews had the prophecies. They heard of the star. They knew of the connections, but they didn't want it to happen. It's wonderful if we can all come to church today and talk about how wonderful God is, and how wonderful Jesus is, and how wonderful is the Holy Family. God can be really inconvenient. What if God were to show up right here today at Mass and give us an accounting? That'd be really inconvenient. I don't know what plans you had today, But that would change everything. If you were going to watch football this afternoon, you're not going to do that. And Herod knew how inconvenient this could be if there was going to be another king. And all of the power structure, the leaders of the temple, they had to figure this thing out. They said, oh no, not now. They knew he was coming. They just didn't want it to happen today. Let it happen in the next guy's rule. But everything's kind of cool right now. I got power, control. Everything's kind of wired together and under control. Don't upset the apple cart. And that was what happened when these three kings show up in Jerusalem. The apple cart was upset, and Herod took note and made a decision to try and thwart things, to change things. Gutsy move. In retrospect, foolish. Probably cost him his eternal salvation. But the leaders of the temple were the same way. They knew it was there. They told him the prophecy. And not one of them went with the kings down to Bethlehem. Because this was just too inconvenient. How often do we find inconvenience in the blessings of our life? Let me go back to that point of when your first child was born. I have to repeat for visitors' sake, I'm a widower. I don't want you to think you came into a Protestant church. I have six children. And when that first child was born and the children started coming, I will admit to two major emotions that I had to balance within me. One was, wow, what a miracle. You just love this child immediately. It's the most beautiful child on planet Earth. If you don't believe me, just ask me. Look at him. He's beautiful. He's mine. And then there's that other side of you that says, I can't go out drinking with the boys anymore. I can't spend as much time doing my hobbies anymore. Boy, this is inconvenient. And you have to balance these things. And it causes growth. And a young man becomes a man through the birth of his children. Something big changes. A woman goes from a girl to a woman through the birth of her children. Something major has changed in their lives. And you have to deal with it. And it doesn't come with superpowers. Leslie was asking me before Mass, she says, Father Mark, who do you like best, Superman or Batman? I guess we've all been through that question. And I told her, you know, I haven't thought about it in a long time. And then I got to think, I said, you know, Batman. She likes Superman because he has superpowers. But here's the thing about Batman. Batman had to work really hard with ordinary human strength and skills to be good and to do good. And the story of Batman, the moral story of Batman is he's an ordinary man who did extraordinarily good things. Well, Superman, first of all, it's impossible to even think about it even happening. Only Jesus is Superman. But the rest of us are more like Batman. And with the birth of that first child, you don't get a new set of tools. You don't get a new bag of energy. And you become a better person. There was an epiphany in your life. And everything changed. You wouldn't exchange that event for anything in the world. And sometimes you dream about going back to the way it was. Useless dreams. We all have them. And if push came to shove, you would never, ever want to go back. A new life has given you new perspective, new hope, new challenges, and made you a better person. What happened in the year zero? That same thing happened to the entire planet that happens to every single child. That happens to every parent. Every parent with the birth of their child experienced a year zero. Well, this was the year zero for the entire planet Earth. And look what it caused. A major religion. A unified civilization in many ways, with common virtues that have spread across the planet. 2,000 years later, yeah, there's a lot of political issues, but look at the work of the Catholic Church. Hospitals, schools, the birth of universities in the Middle Ages. Hospitals that were born, that came up. So much of our life was affected by what happened in the year zero. And it changed the entire planet. And our struggle, the struggle we receive in every single generation, is to go back and remember just how important year zero was for us and how we're going to live in Anno Domini 2014, the year of our Lord, with the rest of the planet and every other human being with whom we interact every day.